B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Matt Turner needs a save or a miss to keep the Revolution season alive. Collins scores! New York City will pull off the upset. They will play in the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in team history.
Welcome in, Solak and Bertrand on a, what day is it? Wednesday.
I'm losing track of the days.
What day is it?
Wednesday. Okay. How you guys doing?
Bro, really good. How are you?
You feel like Tom Hanks yet in that movie, that shipwreck movie, or that plane wreck movie, where you're chalking off days?
In Castaway?
Yeah, in the back of your wall there. Do you have like markings?
No, I feel like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I really feel like.
I believe that.
That's what it feels like.
Ned?
Get up.
Ned the Needle Nose Niedermeyer?
Do the same things every day.
Ned Ryerson?
Ned Ryerson.
I'll tell you.
Head Needle Nose Ned.
Staying home is so much worse when everyone else isn't also doing it. That's what I figured out.
Yeah.
Staying
because
home.
Because I was not one of those people losing my mind during the quarantine of 2020.
Now try having COVID for 8 weeks and having to stay home. And then getting a cough.
But when you do it and everyone else is still out there outside, that is a real mind bleep. That's an issue.
Okay, but between you and me, pretend like no one's listening.
All right, no one's listening.
You're not allowed in here.
Correct, but I'm not legally required to quarantine.
So you're
correct.
Are you going other places?
I really haven't.
I would.
Oh,
but you know what it is? Because of staying home on this show, and then you see people and they're like, what are you doing? Are you supposed to be quarantined?
Yeah. Why are you out at Lowe's looking at stuff?
Fame.
Touching things. He's touching things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. With rubber gloves.
One of my neighbors, great guy, Brian, the other day, Brian Connerty, said, why don't we go out drinking the day before Thanksgiving? I said, what are you, out of your mind? I said, I'm quarantined on TV, and you want me to go out drinking with you at a bar? What are you, insane?
That'd be bad. That'd be bad. But I'd go through the drive-thru.
Like the whole world knows I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're recognizable. I mean, you say, hey, look, here's Beetle.
I stand out in the crowd. What can I say?
You sure do. That's a problem. Everybody's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, let me say a couple of things here to preface our conversation on the Revs. Number one, I wish that the conversation I had with T-Bone off the air yesterday about the Revs we had on the air, which was, what's the risk of an upset in the MLS playoffs? I don't know why we didn't do that on the air, because I don't know. I feel like that would have been a good conversation based on the outcome last night.
See, I thought it was in play with the 23-day delay.
Yes.
Like that?
Yes, and I think it's a big factor. I think that hurt them, and I think that showed last night right out of the gate when you let up a goal 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, Hardy. I don't know what you thought. I see that happen, and I'm like, there it is. That's the 23-day layup.
Now you're chasing. Yep.
Back on the field, and all of a sudden it's full real speed. I know they had scrimmages with each other, but that never simulates the competition of a guy on another team.
Okay,
right?
So, yeah, no, you're right. And especially when it's Castellanos, who was a problem for them in this season, and even if he's not responsible for that first goal, the way that guy flies around and the way he has been an issue for them, whatever scrimmaging you want to do, whatever friendlies you want to have, no matter however you're going to prepare for that game, you're not going to prepare A, for that guy alone, B, their keeper, who I always liked, I just thought, you know, looked like
Johnson.
Yeah, Sean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Clyde Sims always spoke like as highly of him as any opponent we would go up against in terms of just how good that guy was. Like that guy's a problem for most teams that face him. But you go with just the keeper and Castellanos alone. You should have seen this. I'm not saying we should have seen it coming, but this team gave them issues, and
back in September,
and it was. It's the team he didn't want to play. Thank God it wasn't in Yankee Stadium, which is just
a
terrible place to play.
You probably lose 3-1.
And that team loves playing there because they are physical and they have the sight lines figured out in that cage that they play in down there. But this team was a problem from the jump. I foolishly thought they had enough skill between Heel, Gustavo Bow, Buchanan. I love Dewan Jones. We all know what Matt Turner has been and what he's meant to this team. I thought, New York City, that's a tough draw, but they can beat them. Watching that first goal go in last night, I was the same way. I'm like, oh, crap.
You can hear it.
There's the layoff, and there's the talent. There is a team that knows that they're the underdog, but also knows how good they are with a few of their guys. And I didn't think the match was over by any means at that point, but I didn't feel good about it all night. At what point did you feel good about the way the Revs played last night?
Oh, they got thoroughly outplayed. I mean, throughout the course of the game, over the course of the entire game, which, by the way, is entirely too long. That's one of my gripes always.
Ridiculous.
Too much soccer last night.
Regular season, let me tell you something. I would put it up there with regular season hockey in a game that ends either in regulation or in just the 1-3-on-3 overtime as one of the best takes in sports in terms of how long it takes to play. Because a regular season match in the MLS ends in a draw, that's it.
Yep.
45
minutes. They're not playing a 30-minute guaranteed 30-minute overtime.
A couple of minutes of injury time at the end of the first half. Same thing at the end of the second half. No matter what the score is, but I'm bump bump. You're done. Goodbye. It's 2 hours.
Yeah,
and it's great. Last night, I forgot about it. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's not sudden death.
Right.
It's 30 minutes, no matter what. And then this. I don't know how much you want to get into it today, Beetle.
No, but
with the PKs to end the game, but oh God.
You felt bad for Turner in that moment because, again, coach of the year, goalie of the year. You just knew, okay, this is not going to end well. You just had a feeling. And it sucked me in last night. And for you people that watch the show and Rev fans go, oh, you guys don't talk enough refs. Well, it got me last night. And I know it's an elimination game and it's different.
Well, I'd like to apologize
around
to the Revs
more.
Fans.
Because we're not aficionados of soccer. No.
Have they not lost last night?
It's your chance now, people.
Today.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Beetle. That's full disclosure. If they won last night, it'd be like, ho-hum, on to the next one.
Yep.
We'll talk about it when they get to the MLS Cup. Yeah, now,
what's this loss mean, though?
I feel like it's devastating.
I do, too.
Because I just feel bad. First of all, I feel bad for the coach. I feel bad for the players. I don't think that they were put in a good position with this 23-day layoff.
That's an MLS problem, then.
We've talked about it multiple times, how that seems to be unfair to any team in any sport to have that kind of time off between games. And so that's not revisionist history. We talked about that last week and the week before. So I just feel bad for the organization because I feel like they were on the edge of actually drawing in new fans and actually sort of becoming a bigger deal. And, well, this hurts them. This hurts them in that endeavor. How was the attendance last night? Was it good?
25-plus. They said 25-plus, but the lower shot of the ball is completely full.
Except for one of the end zones.
Yeah, except the south end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, there's a lot of people there in a cold, cold night. That's a cold, miserable night. And I had friends that had tickets that were thinking of going and they end up tapping out because of the cold night. They didn't want to take the kids there. But it was a good watch last night. I how many ambulances did they go through last night carrying those players?
Oh, it's just
My God. I know it's part of it, and I'm not used to that. But so they were supposedly the best team ever, right?
Best team in regular season history. I used to hate that. You'll get over it. The more you watch it, the more you get over it.
I get it. Yeah, because you start chuckling at it.
Yeah, but you ever watch basketball?
Yeah.
Right. You ever watch the NBA?
Yeah.
Does it bother you? No, it becomes it's part of the fabric of the sport.
I get it.
Even more so in soccer.
And you got to be a soccer fan to watch it. You do. But elimination game. We like the coach. We like the way this thing's trending for them. You wish the organization well. You know, they want to build it. They got their own facility. They want their own stadium. They want it to be intimate so it feels big every night. They were supposedly the best team in history, right? In regular season history.
Yeah.
And I heard Jones this morning, talking about the Patriots, you know, the undefeated year, getting popped, you know, round one of the playoffs, divisional round. Is that really that similar to that? I think it's a little bit different because you're not playing as many games. It's football. You ran the table 16-0 sitting there, and then you get popped divisional round. Would you equate this to that? I wouldn't, because the sport was still there and good. This could have an effect on this sport locally and, I don't know, I don't want to say nationally because I don't know who nationally is invested in them. But, like, this is a problem with the MLS.
Yeah,
you
no,
made,
this
you
is
made
going
the best
like
team
15,
ever
this
sit for 23
like,
days.
And this is going like 14-2, 15-1, and losing in the divisional round.
Yeah, for, so it's like I would equate it more, Beal, yeah, to that Patriots-Jets year. When you beat the Jets 45-3, you smoked them, and then they came back and kicked your ass in the divisional round. Yeah,
yeah, like but the that. Revs were a better team than that Patriots team.
So that's
this
what
year.
I'm. So what's better than 14-2 than being 15-1 that year?
Yeah, no, but that team record wise maybe was a little inflated, is what I would say.
Who's that?
The Patriots team
that year
lost
yeah.
to the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, they won the games. Can't take that away from them. So
yeah, I would
you didn't
say
win
like
last night. It's a bad loss. It's a bad loss for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, let's talk more about that all day. You want to. You know, have your Rev sorrows. Happy to hear it. 617-779-0985. Very disappointing loss last night for the Revs. I'm sure the fans are not happy about that today. We'll talk about that, but we got plenty other of the items to get to today. Bert Breer is going to join us coming up at 11, so we'll work some of those things in before we talk a lot of football with him in just 45 minutes. We're off and running here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
On anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every day I coach is sort of a blessing. If it ends today, it ends today. It's not the end of the world. I'm really comfortable with the number of years I've been able to coach, and we'll see if it continues. We'll see what makes sense. We'll think about it a little bit. Let the owners think about it a little bit, and then we all move forward.
Oh.
Hard to ignore that comment after the match last night. Bruce Arena basically saying he might be done. That's how I took it. Saying it's not the end of the world if this is the end of the road for me. If I'm done coaching, if this is the last of it. We'll see what makes sense. I'll think about it, and the owners will think about it. Do the owners have anything to think about?
No.
I don't think they do.
You got to think about paying him maybe a little bit more to stay. Hey, Bruce, it's gravy right now for you. It's gravy on top of everything.
Saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that might be
Bruce is fine. You've got to convince him to come back.
Let the owners think about my demand for a raise that I just gave him.
Hey,
I have no idea what he makes. He might be well compensated. Now
I'm sure
no
he is.
Idea.
I'm sure he is.
I have no idea.
He's got that rich guy feel about him, though. You know?
The what?
He's got that walk about him. He's well compensated. He's coached a lot of games in his
you know
in
that
his career.
By his walk?
You, know you can just tell by his strut.
The
way a man,
money walk.
The way a man carries himself, it's
he's
a money,
money walk.
Walk. He's got a money strut to him. Hello, gentlemen. Nobody says hello, gentlemen, unless they got money in their pockets. They're like, hey, guys, how you doing? Brad Stevens. Hey, guys. Well, he's rich, too. I don't know. So, look at us, though, talking soccer. Sports station.
I think that would be awful if he left, if he's no longer going to be
devastating.
The
that's like... That's the type of things that happen when you have a cataclysmic loss. And don't think that teams aren't going to try and pluck your good guys also, right? Like when you have a good team, when you have a historic team, like, okay, that guy's good. We need to make him part of, you know, our program at a much lesser level than what they are.
617-779-0985. Last night as we watched things head south for the Revs, we texted about this guy. It said, he's going to be in tomorrow. He's going to be here tomorrow ripping on Matt Turner.
Oh.
That's Jake in Boston. Revs fan, Jake in Boston. What do you got?
Hello, gentlemen. What did I tell you yesterday? Maybe this cursed soccer franchise should wait to win a playoff game before parading around Matt Turner like some circus clown. Seven balls got by him yesterday.
Oh.
Seven. Walter Zenga, he is not. And it's not personal with Matt. I like him personally. It's where the team and the franchise's head was at, parading around their stupid supporter shield like it meant something, bragging about their 73 points, introducing a new logo right before the playoff, which is ugly, and you're always
no, it isn't.
With
now. No, it isn't.
Lost the last game of the regular season, and you only made a big deal about the new logo because you're never going to ever get a stadium done with Michelle Wu as mayor now, and because you can't get that stadium done, creepy John Henry gets to parade Liverpool around Boston like they own the place, which I hate to say it, they do. There are more Liverpool fans in Boston because of him than there are Revs fans. This was the biggest organizational disgrace since, well, you guys won't know it, but this is Revs fan history. 2012 U.S. Open Cup, they scored three goals in the first half of extra time against a non-MLS club. They gave up three goals in the last 15 minutes, and they lost in a shootout to the Harrisburg City Islanders in 2012. Gustavo Bowl looks scared. Obviously, Arena trusting Boos's broken foot was a bad idea in PKs, and notwithstanding on the obviously the goal he scored, but you score, you let the other team score 5 minutes into a playoff game that you knew was coming. You absolutely slept at the wheel on this one. Your connections between the midfielders and the defense were god-awful all night long. This was Bruce's worst performance since Trinidad when we missed the World Cup in 2018, except that team was a bunch of self-absorbed jerk-offs, and this one could have been helped had they not had everyone kissing their butt for the last 3 weeks.
I'm going to tell you something. If we can get more Revs calls like that, we're going to talk Revs all the damn time.
Damn right.
Wow.
So, somebody said that last night. It's like, why don't they take Revs calls? Any, do we turn away Revs
never.
Calls?
No, but
never
the calls
not
would
once.
Be, why don't you
Tyler,
talk more Revs?
Not
okay.
Once.
What do you want
Pick
to talk about?
Pick up the phone
right.
and call.
Tyler, how many Revs calls do you turn away on a given day? Do you say, sorry,
right.
we're not talking
on
Revs
zero.
Right now?
Yeah,
right, so call in.
Yeah.
And you know what? Bring it like that, even if you don't agree with it.
It got brought in.
That's a great
right there.
Call.
Yep.
Yes, it got brought
in. It got brought in.
You tell him so.
You brought the heat.
Do you think there's an issue with them celebrating Matt Turner's Keeper of the Year, celebrating the Supporters' Shield?
No.
Does any of that factor into the loss last night?
No, and you need to do that. I'm sorry. I will defend a team when you're good and you're feeling good and you earn something and it's a long year and you earned it.
Go feel good.
It's yours. It's different in other sports.
Yep.
Yeah, you win the AFC title. You don't prance around with the AFC title jersey or the trophy, the Lamar Hunt trophy. No, you don't even touch it because it's different in other sports. That's the way it is in that sport. Coach of the year, goalkeeper of the year. He's local. Guys, people like him. Of course you parade him out there. That's not why they lost.
Nick in the car is devastated by the Revs' loss. Hey, Nick.
What's up, fellas?
Hi, Nick.
Yeah, that first goal was pretty hard to see. But the team recovered pretty well from that. I mostly will agree with Jake, though, that it was Bruce Arena's worst performance of the year. And Gustavo Bow looked like a 45-year-old, slow, sluggish man who wanted nothing to do with the ball anytime it came to him. So that was real frustrating. But I do want to comment on one thing. That last goal that the Revs scored to tie it up in extra time, I have never heard a stadium erupt like it did when that ball went into the back of the net. That was so electric. The fans were so into it throughout the entire game. The lower bowl was definitely packed. It was amazing. And last comment, I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Tay Buchanan going to that Belgium club in the next couple months because they need to replace him. That guy was hands down their best player this year.
He was their best player last night, I thought. And yeah, that goal.
He was active, that's for sure.
That goal in extra time that he scored was phenomenal because you see how tough it is. It seems simple, but I think he got it after one bounce. And you saw, it may have been Castellanos earlier in the match who had a similarly placed ball in front of him. And he tried to settle it first, and he got one touch on it before he took the shot because, it you know, at that point, they're playing, as Lyle said last night on the power play. You know, Castellanos was shown the second yellow card, so he wasn't out there. There's another player that was hobbled with what looked like a hamstring. So it was
Gray pulled up with the hammy.
Yeah, they're practically down two guys. So for Buchanan to be in that spot, like wide open. It's how many times do you see it in hockey with a wide open net?
Are we going nuts?
The net. And the net wasn't wide open, but he had, you know, a clean delivery on the ball. It's like, do I take a touch? Do I just shoot it? He put it in, he buried it, and that's what obviously he had to do in that moment. It was obviously also one of his best plays of the night, but he was fantastic, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Buchanan's out of there.
See ya.
With Gustavo Bow, I don't know what was going on with him last night.
He was invisible last night.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I will give credit to New York City FC and their formation and what they did defensively. They had more of a wall built back there than I think I could discern from watching it. And I think what maybe they were given credit for in the broadcast, because Bow, we saw it several times throughout the regular season. He would take a shot from outside the box, and those things had vapor trail coming off him. I mean, he's got a really heavy foot, and he can find it and sneak it in just under the top crossbar. He bounced a couple off the crossbar earlier in the season. I was waiting for him to take a shot. By the way, final few seconds, when you have possession of the ball at the end of extra time, How about put one on net there?
I thought New York was impressive with their passes, though. The way they bended some of those passes from one side of the field to the other, I'm like, what the hell are you kicking? Oh, then the ball bends back, and like, wow, that's a hell of a pass.
But to only make Johnson make a save last night, I think he had to make one save.
Put out the tweet. Damn it, Revs, get the damn ball to red zone. What, I'm thinking, like football drive. It felt like the ball took place on one side of the field for a good chunk of that first half.
It is such a rudimentary, like childish way of looking at it, but I couldn't help it last night. At some point,
they were more than aggressive.
Especially when Gustavo Bow had the ball a couple of times toward the end of regulation and at the end of extra time. I'm like, where's that howitzer leg of yours? Why don't you just go ahead and just punish that ball and see if you can get it on net? Because that's what he's great at. And I don't know if disinterested is the word, but, you know, lack of engagement sometimes. And he's normally really strong on the ball. He didn't seem to have it last night. And at one point, I'm like, is he still out there? Did they make a substitution at some point I wasn't even aware of? Like, he was invisible for a huge part of that match, which is unlike him.
All right.
Milton is in Providence today. Milton.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello, hey. Milton.
So, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
I agree. The loss last night for the Revs, it's monumental, and it obviously gets overshadowed here in Boston and New England because of our other sports teams. I thought, first of all, a 23-day, rest period is huge, and I think that that's where Bruce Arena should have been more impactful with the team. I don't know. They should have been stronger in the midfield. I don't think they possessed the ball enough in the middle, and they should have done that. I thought that he was reactionary there after New York scored the goal there in extra time. That's when Bruce Arena went in and made those substitutions. I thought that he should have made those substitutions earlier. And so, I think it's a tough loss. And just as a side note for the fan base, I don't know, listening to the commentating, the play-by-play, it was tough. I mean, a lot of dead air, sort of just like you should be able to close your eyes and be able to see the game without watching the game itself. So
you didn't like the play-by-play.
Okay, play-by-play critique too. Wow,
I didn't think it was great. So it was FS1. They did the game. I didn't think it was great. It didn't have the feel of a big game. They didn't let the crowd breathe more. I mean, you heard the chants. You heard the ref chants throughout the course. They kept showing that one end zone shot. I'm like, give me more of the siding. I wanted to see how many people were there. They didn't really embrace that. The place was, you had a lot of people there for a soccer game on a cold night like that after a great year. And they didn't give you enough at a stadium. I didn't think they gave you enough. I didn't think they gave you enough good crowd shots. I don't know if they normally do that, so that's on me.
Well, there's always something happening on the field.
You
don't have timeouts.
You don't have the stops and play like you do
stoppages
football.
To 4 second
play.
Get
stop.
Your crowd shots and stuff. So that's really that. I don't generally that's right. not a part of the
that's
broadcast.
On me, then.
But to the time of possession and for the Revs in the middle third especially, I thought New York City was excellent last night in transition, going from their end through the middle third into the attacking third. That's where you saw those passes that you're talking about, Zoe,
yeah.
Which are commonplace for a lot of good teams, but they were so crisp last night, and they were so good, and at times, like, moving at will through that. It's like, where are your defensive midfielders that I've been watching all season?
It's like when you watch that top line on hockey, holy crap. It's like, it felt like you had them out there the whole game.
You're going to do anything to disrupt these guys just a tiny little bit. You know, you're allowing them not just entry through that middle third, but you're allowing them entry into your end with momentum. That ain't good.
All right, you got Hub headlines coming up right now, because on the other side we have Patriots center David Andrews.
What's going on here?
David Andrews is going to join us next, Beatle.
So we're going to disrupt our Revs conversation here with David Andrews.
No, we're 10:33 here, so we're going to take the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Beaker. Want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's
a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10:39, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen. Right?
Dealers
expert hotline. And let's bring in an expert NFL center, David Andrews, Patriots team captain, joins us now. Hey, David, another team win. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Good. How do you like Zoe driving the bus here while Beetle is reconnecting? It's pretty smooth far, huh?
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. sorry,
back.
Dave.
That's, you guys let Zoe in charge? That's scary.
You know what happened there.
Beetle's back with us now. You ready, Beetle?
Beetle?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you pump down? Cheer up. Beatles upset.
What's wrong, man? You all right?
The Revolution lost, Dave. He's upset.
Yeah.
No.
I'm real down about that.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that soccer game last night?
No, I had a call with the YMCA. They were honoring Scar last night, so I was on that.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, that's nice.
How's he doing? Do you keep in touch with him regularly?
Yeah. I mean, we talk. He's doing good, so, know he's enjoying retirement, and Scar will always be someone a part of my life.
So you've been around when Scar stepped away and kind of came back and was helping out on some things, and then he eventually came back again. What was that period like for him, being away from the game, and how he sort of wanted to get right back into it once you retired?
Oh man, I don't really know exactly, but it was obvious he missed it. Because when he came back, you could feel like he had never missed a beat. So, just being around him, and for those that have been around him, you could tell that he missed it. He was ready to go when he came back. So, I think I'm glad I got to experience, because I played with guys like the Ryan Wendells and Nate Solders, Marcus Cannon, Sebastian Vollmers, who talked about him and all the things that he did. So I was just glad to experience it there for a few years. Wasn't that glad to experience it a couple times while I was in it, but looking back, glad to experience it.
So when it comes to coaching at your position, on a week-to-week basis, I think a lot of people, when they think about a football team, they think about the coordinators, and they can sort of envision what a week is like in the NFL in terms of installing offense, defense with coordinators. What's your sort of day-to-day interaction with your positional coaches in the course of the work week?
I mean, a lot, right? And I think, obviously, the O-line's an interesting thing because, receivers coaches, there's three receivers most of the times, maybe two, maybe one, maybe four. Running backs, one or two. Tight ends, two, maybe three. Quarterbacks, obviously one, and then us. It's five of us every play. I know from when I was out in 2019 and kind of in a different role and watching practice, having guys ask, it's hard to, you know, practice to see everything. It's hard to understand the whole picture sometimes because there's, you might be watching the front side for a block and something happens on the back side, so you can't see everything. It's an interesting thing being an O-line coach, I think. But, I mean, we obviously interact a lot. You know, there are position coaches, and especially run game stuff and things like that.
Does Carmen Brasillo have anything extra to offer you, having been a center in college?
I mean, I think every coach has something, you know, to offer, too. We've also got Billy Yates, who played here, played offensive line, has worked on the defensive side of the ball, too. So I think that's what makes coaches, they each have something interesting to bring to the table, you know, and everyone's different. So I think, you know, I've enjoyed working with all the coaches we've had here.
I was there for your post game. And I remember everything you said about, you know, the lack of the running game early, but, you know, you guys got it cranked up at the end of the game. After watching the film, did you see one or two things that, like, ah, damn it, we could have done this better to get the run game going earlier in that game against the Titans?
Yeah. Obviously, they're good players and do a lot of things well. Obviously, we're playing some really good players this week and got their own scheme. But looking back on it, it was more of us. It was not guys getting beat or, you know, things like that. You know, so, which is encouraging but also frustrating. So, like I said that before, but I think that's always the case. You know, it's encouraging when it's like, okay, we're not getting manhandled here, but also it's discouraging because what if, what could have been? If we had just gone to the right guy or done this right or communicated this right, whatever it may be, right? There's a million things. But so encouraged with that, but also frustrated, and then some things we can do better. But, you know, finish the game how we wanted to finish and got it going there at the end.
Yeah, I remember talking to you early in your career here about playing on the road up there in Buffalo. And you're like, ah, I've played a bunch of SEC games where the noise is nuts. And I said, well, Bills Mafia is a little bit different. It's been a couple of years since you played in that environment up there. How looking forward to going up there on a Monday night are you for first place in AFC, up for grabs? AFC.
I mean, look, this is why we're all here, right, is for a game like this. You grow up playing football and loving to compete. It's for games like this. Prime time, only show in town. Obviously, one of the best places to play an NFL game. You know that. You know the environment there. It's one of a kind place. So, and then obviously, you know, a really good football team we're about to play. And so, you know, how could you not love this, being a competitor, and how fortunate we are to be in this position?
David, I know you've talked about this at various points this year, but I know that you believe, and maybe your teammates as well, believe that you've got to play a physical brand of football to win in this league, and I know that's something that you've sort of focused on. Is this not sort of the perfect game to put that on display? You're going to go up against a tough physical team. Weather may not be great there. It's a division opponent. Is this one of those games where you put an extra emphasis on that?
I think you always put an extra emphasis on it, but I think, you know, you don't want to go playing this game from, you know, third and 15, third and 10, third and 9, on the road against a good front, a good team. That's not how you want to play this game. That's playing into their hand, you know, at home, crowd noise, us having to communicate, you know, all those different challenges and being third and 10 plus. So, when you look at it as a player, an offensive lineman, all right, how do we win first and second down here? And it is by playing physical and getting the run game going and not becoming a one-dimensional team. So, you know, I think all around as a team, you know, we say every week, to be a tough football team, you got to stop the run, run the ball, and cover kick. So that's what we're going to try to do and control what I can control with that, and, you know, my side of the ball.
All right, David. Well, we appreciate your time, and good luck on Monday night in Buffalo. It's a big one for sure.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good week, bud.
David Andrews, Patriot Center, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, 617-779-0985. We've got Bert Breer scheduled to join us coming up in just minutes at this point. He'll be with us at 11 o'clock. You excited about that, Zoe?
I am, after getting that Ohio State ass kicked this weekend.
Hell yeah, Bert. Let's do it.
Okay, that's coming up at 11. We'll get back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Zolak and Bertrand on a Wednesday, hump day. Bert Breer is going to join us coming up at 11 a.m.
All right.
What?
Zoe and Roger are yelling at
me. I think Breer lost a bet because he has his sweatshirt tucked in his pants. Is that? Oh, no, it's not. You should tuck your shirt in your pants for about a month after Harbaugh kicking your team's ass. You wait. You're coming on. We're going to get you. Don't you worry. We'll get that on record. What do you got, Beetle?
Tanner in Rhode Island. Hi, Tanner.
No.
Hey, guys, I just want to say a few things about the Revs.
Yep.
So last night was definitely disappointing, but I really think it starts with Buksa and Bo up top. I mean, I was at the game. They were ghosts out there, and they can't create for themselves. They're just not technical enough. If you look at New York City, they have guys like Castellanos, Morales, who are just so technically skilled and can make something happen up top. The midfield was dead. There was no possession. And that second goal New York scored, they were standing watching that ball, and it was just ball watching. Terrible play, and I don't think it was helpful that they had 23 days off. I think the MLS needs to address that and change that because that's unfair for
the
first
team. It's an awful thing by the MLS. But like Books on that header has a hell of a header to tie the game at one, but I don't watch a ton. He looks clunkier than the other guys. That makes sense to me. That team that you played looked more athletic than you. You know, like Tanner just said, I think they beat you to the ball.
Yeah, the time off thing, I can't get too upset about that because you have time to recover from, you know, ailments and injuries and stuff. I think it's a wash. I think you get
Spooks had what, the foot or the ankle?
Yeah, and they've it's like any other sport. Everyone's got something by the end of the season. And you get over 3 weeks to stay in shape, conditioning wise, and to allow stuff to heal a little bit and to, you know, really get yourself ready. So while the layoff isn't ideal, you wouldn't want that between, you know, a bunch of big matches after a full season to have that layoff. It's not the worst thing in the world. I really think it's a wash. So I'm not using that as an excuse for them.
Yep. Mark is in Medford on the Bruins last night. What do you got, Mark?
Okay, so we're missing Marchand for 3 games. The coach has COVID. Jake DeBrusk wants to be traded, but plays in the lineup last night with his head up his butt as usual. And Linus Skidmark. I just want to talk about that guy for a minute. I'm almost wishing, guys, and you know me, that I'm almost hoping that the Bruins re-sign Tuukka Rask at this point.
I mean, did you hear Sweeney? Whoa. Did you hear Sweeney, who had to answer
Mark,
questions
Mark
regarding
wants
the goalie
Tuukka
being
back
around?
Yeah. Wait, are you
listen
hearing
to
this?
This?
Are you hearing this, though?
I
he
heard
wants
it.
Wants Tuukka back.
What's the date? December 1st. First call. Want Tuukka back.
Well, you know what, guys? This $5 million for Linus Skidmark, it's not worth it. I'm sorry, guys, but that goal last night, all he had to do was poke his stick out, and he breaks up the play in front of the net. He let this guy walk right in on him, and his ass is inside the net. This guy sucks.
Okay. Oh, man. Linus Ullmark has made Tuukka haters demand he come back.
Well, I mean, it's good. He's working out the goalies, and we've never shied away from how we felt about that. He needs to decide how his health is. And
no, but really, what are they going to do with Ullmark?
Part of our group?
If Tuukka's back. And I know what everyone, you know, and I've even said in the past, well, there's the obvious solution of
send Swayman down. Yeah.
Because they've got the flexibility to do that.
But he's been a better guy.
But then you're making your team worse. You're sending away the better goalie. But like, and you're not fixing the problem, which is you spent $5 million on a guy who can't play.
T-Bone said it. You had $6 million sitting on a ninth floor. Now you'll have 11. I mean, what do you want?
What a team. What a team. Oh, brutal.
Everyone wants Tuca and Krejci back. What a world.
I thought, I listened to a lot of Felger and Mass. They had the Marshawn audio from yesterday. You know, because they got it after our show. I thought Marshawn was really good talking about it. Just, you know, just being real about it. Like, hey, you slow it down this by this, and you're going to nitpick every damn frame. He's like, try it in real time. What's the guy, 6'4"? Did I think I was taking him out? I mean, come on. You know, but the league is, you know, and he knows how to handle it now, I think, so that, you know, next time something comes up, hey, he handled it professionally and accepted it and understands what the league is doing. And he talked about trying to be a different player from back in the day. I thought he was good yesterday. You know, wasn't the fun.
John is in Hampton. He's been hanging on. Thanks, John.
Hey, guys. So hey. I just want to ask a quick question on how terrible all the teams in the NFL are and just if it made you guys realize just how amazing Brady and Belichick were together and how they never should have broken apart. Thanks.
Well, it's kind of nice that they're both broken apart and both are having success now. Right? Last year.
They are? Wait, the Patriots?
The Patriots are 8-4. The Bucs are what, 9-3?
Have a good record. But 8-3? The Bucs have had real success.
Yes, I'm talking about right now in the moment.
Oh.
Right now in the moment, as both teams stand. Both teams are in pretty good shape right now. Last year, not the case. Brady kicked your ass last year. We're wishing they stayed together. Yeah. We're pretty good right now. I like the kid. Ask me this year ago, I'd be petrified. No, bring Brady back. I don't care what you got to pay him. So,
Mac for Brady right now. Straight up. You do the deals up?
No.
No?
Oh, no, no. I'd take Brady.
Yeah. There it is. I'm like,
But
what?
Yeah.
You take Brady, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you take? Would you take 2 years of Brady this year and next, or the rest of Mac Jones's career?
Brady for two to call another Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Jesus!
Oh, boy. Facts.
Such a honk! Such a Brady honk!
I love Mac. I'm good where we're at.
I love Mac. I just love Brady a lot more.
Like it. Yeah. That's, so you're saying put Brady on this team the way it's constituted right now?
Not.
Oh, you couldn't pay all the guys. As what you have, you bring.
No, no, right now. Swap their teams.
Oh, my God. Brady with the run checks and everything? Oh, yeah.
The running backs you have?
Oh, yeah. Run checks, subsets. Give him two tight ends. No tight end 2 years ago. Matt Lacoste 2 years ago was his tight end.
If Brady were on this team right now, are they the Super Bowl favorite?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Because people are calling you a contender right now. Yes.
Okay.
He's miserable. They were aiming for with Brady heading in for the. What?
He'd be miserable.
He'd be miserable
8-4.
Miserable.
Right, but the growth period is over, so he doesn't have to be here for it, T-Bone. Like, he didn't have to deal with it. Now everyone's good. Right? He didn't have to deal with bringing Kendrick Bourne along into the offense. It's already done.
Right.
Right?
We're just planting him in there right now. Right
today, now. December 1st, 2021. Yes, today.
Right now.
Right now.
We're not doing this.
We are doing this. We just did it. And you just said, yeah, I'd trade him right now.
Yeah.
Bert Breer is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk some Mac Jones. We'll talk some Bill Belichick. We'll talk some Pats. Coming up right after the headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.